This is The Guardian.
Today, the government has told us all to get back to the office. But will we?
As we come out of COVID, our towns and cities are going to be buzzing with life because we know that a productive workforce needs the spur that only comes with face-to-face meetings and water cooler gossip.
Last week, in his speech to the Conservative Party conference in Manchester, the Prime Minister made one thing very clear.
We will and must see people back in the office.
He wants everyone back in the office.
And that is why we are building back better.
And in recent weeks, a chorus of ministers have made the same appeal, saying that working from home is killing our high streets and that people should get off their exercise bikes and get back to work. One even went as far to suggest that civil servants working from home hampered the UK's response to the Taliban's takeover in Afghanistan. While not everyone has been able to work from home during the pandemic, millions of us made the switch. Now, in recent months, people have begun heading back.
Hey, sorry to bother you. I'm from The Guardian. I'm making a podcast about the return to the office. Are you guys all back in the office or full time? Would you mind just quickly?
High streets are busier. Train carriages are fuller. At 9 a.m, city centres echo with the sounds of commuters.
So what was home working like for you?
Horrible. I hate it. Space, not seeing people, and also my cat in the end got really fed up with it and kept climbing over the keyboard.
Both working from home for obviously the entire of lockdown in a very small flat. It's kind of been a bit of a breath of fresh air and nice to get back to kind of some sort of normality.
What normality means is different for everyone.
Etc. I think this is it, like back to normal. We'll see.
I've had three nights out on the trot this week.
Okay. So you're taking it easy today?
Yes, yeah, so as far as I'm concerned, life's returning to normal.
But it looks like for many, the pandemic has brought to an end a week of 9-to-5s in the office.
I don't know how I managed to go to the office 5 days a week before lockdown, because it is slightly exhausting at the moment.
From The Guardian, I'm Rachel Humphreys. Today in Focus, hand sanitizer, hybrid working, and half your team on Zoom. Will work ever be the same again? Joanna Partridge, you're a business reporter for The Guardian, and I was working this out, although we've probably been colleagues technically for 2 years now, this is only the second time we've been in the office together. And I have to say, I've really missed doing face-to-face interviews. It's nice, isn't it, to be back in with people.
And I think, Rachel, if you'd said to any office-based workers in January 2020, the days of the commute and standing wedged under someone's armpit are over, you know, for the next 18 months, you're just going to be pottering in the morning to your kitchen table or your spare room. Most office-based workers would have said, yes, please, I'm in for that.
Yeah.
But actually, there was a scramble for everyone to suddenly go and work from home where they could during the pandemic, and it's gone on for 18 months now.
Yeah, it's definitely changed all of our perspectives. And I think for sure, I would not have believed that my commute would have gone from an hour to three steps, basically,
yeah.
Which I think is the same for lots of people. But since restrictions began to be lifted in England on the 19th of July, what has the return to the office looked like? I mean, how many people are working in their offices now?
It has been a very slow return. It wasn't like you were just able to flick the switch and things went back to the way they were before the pandemic, probably because COVID has lasted for such a long time. I have to say, all the devolved nations have been going their own way about it. So the guidance in England to go back to the office where possible came earlier than it did in the other nations. And actually in Scotland, working from home where possible guidance is still in place. People are not going in 5 days a week. A lot of businesses, the overwhelming majority, have adopted this new hybrid model. So they are asking for people to be in person at their desks several days a week, maybe splitting the week, you know, 3 days in the office, 2 days at home or vice versa. But it hasn't been this quick bang back to 5 days a week, Monday to Friday, you're at your desk as you were before.
And I think that definitely was reflected when I was at Liverpool Street this morning.
Yeah, it's been good. We run our own business, so we had a bit of time out of the office, but we're back probably on average like 3 to 4 days a week.
I think we're 3 days a week maximum now, actually, and working from home otherwise. So I think people are quite thankful for that, really.
Everyone I spoke to is working on a hybrid model. But what about things like the commute? I mean, a few people I spoke to said they're actually surprised by how much they're enjoying being back on the tube, something that they used to loathe. They're actually finding a lot of joy in again.
In fact, I live in London. I've resided in London for like the whole of my life. And I've not really cared much about commutes. But now, like post-COVID, I thoroughly enjoy my commute to work. Like, for example, I've actually gotten off a stop before where I'm actually heading to just to have a walk. And that's not really me, generally speaking, so yeah.
What do we know about how people are getting to work?
According to the Greater London Authority, which has gathered a bunch of data from a range of different sources, including Transport for London, TfL Bus, Google data and the City Mapper app, that shows that public transport use is up to around three quarters of the levels that were seen before the first lockdown in spring 2020. Interestingly, though, there's some traffic data from TomTom, who make the sat-nav systems in Manchester, and that shows that traffic congestion in around the city has been worse than it was in 2019 on several days in September, which is suggesting that, I guess, more people are using their cars to commute to work or take children to school, because maybe people aren't ready to get back on buses or trains just yet.
Yes, COVID is obviously still a concern, and offices have to take that into account too, don't they? And while there aren't any strict laws as to how companies keep their premises COVID safe, some businesses are asking staff to socially distance and wear masks. We're all doing that here at The Guardian. But has the return to the office had an impact on infection rates?
COVID case rates across the UK have been holding fairly steady at a relatively high level, many people would argue, but about 34,000 cases a day of the 7-day average. And it's been at this level for quite a few weeks. So I don't think that there's been a huge spike in cases associated with return of schools or more people going back to workplaces that maybe some people had expected.
From your reporting, how keen do you think businesses are to get people back in the office now?
From the beginning of the pandemic, most businesses have said that they do want people to return in some way at some point. Various organisations obviously have spotted an opportunity to cut some of their costs, so have got rid of certain offices or shrunk their office footprint to save on rent. So lots of organisations are maybe working on the basis that they will have a centralised headquarters or various offices dotted about the country, but that they won't maybe have as many as they did before, and probably people won't be required to come in as much as possible. Interestingly, the few organisations that I'm aware of that have really championed this 5 days a week back at your desk are the big investment banks, and mostly the US Wall Street investment banks, you know, the likes of Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs.
I do think for a business like ours, which is an innovative, collaborative apprenticeship culture, this is not ideal for us. And it's not a new normal. It's an aberration that we're going to correct as quickly as possible.
But that seems to be quite specific to that industry and to a certain number of organisations, actually. And by and large, over all kinds of different sectors of the economy, it's this flexible, you're in 3 days, you're at home for two, that kind of balance.
Are there ways that companies have been trying to entice people back to the office, Jara, if they're not so keen?
I'm not sure about whether enticements that would really cut it for someone who was totally opposed to returning to their desk. But there, quite a few organisations have put on things like free breakfast and lunch on for their employees to welcome them back. Or I've heard stories about companies offering ice creams or a sweetie machine for people. Some are also trying to give their employees some new merch, a bit of swag with the company name on, as a way of sort of saying, welcome back. You're going to be working flexibly in future. Here's a laptop case with our corporate branding that you can use when you're commuting between home and the office. So does that really cut the mustard for some people? I'll leave that up to you guys to decide.
Do you want a hoodie with your company name on it? And is that going to make you come in 5 days a week? Why do you think it is that some companies are so convinced they need a workforce physically in the office?
Organisations will list a whole load of reasons why they think it's important to have staff back in. They range from fostering creativity and shared ideas, which are quite important. And you can share over a large Zoom or Teams meeting, but maybe not quite in such a collaborative way as when people are physically in a room together. Lots of organisations as well say that work isn't just about work. It's also having fostering that corporate culture, a sense of belonging, that helps build more loyalty to the organisation and a stronger team. Younger people especially, who might not have ever had a professional job before, if they're just working in isolation in their spare room, they've got a lot to learn from people who've been doing the job for a long time.
And did it affect the business at all, working from home, like productivity, anything like that, did you notice?
We found that people were getting lots done. I think what we noticed was that for a lot of the new staff, we hire a lot of graduates, and we're in graduate recruitment. So we've noticed across the industry, people are saying that they actually need that. They need that more senior person to go and ask them. They're quite scared of just messaging someone. They actually want to go over and walk over to people, which is why we've made the decision to come back. But
do you think there's a sense from some employers that people might be skiving, might not be working as hard at home?
I think the pandemic has helped in a very broad way to get rid of that idea that working from home is shirking from home, or, you know, that it's someone who just sort of pretends to be logged in when they're actually busy watching daytime TV or whatever employers thought that people were doing. Because productivity at most organisations has been pretty good throughout the pandemic. And it proved, this huge national social experiment proved, that people can work from home quite efficiently. We don't know yet on a national level what happened to productivity during the pandemic. And it's quite complicated because, you know, manufacturing sites and factories were closed during lockdowns as well. But generally, the majority of organisations which had to switch entirely to home working have said that productivity remained pretty much as it had been before the pandemic as well. And I think if you speak to a lot of people, they will tell you that they might have ended up, the hours that they would have usually spent commuting, they've quite often spent continuing to work. So quite possibly people have done a little bit more work as well than they would have done if they were rushing to go and do school pickup at the end of the day.
How productive you can be working from home obviously depends on the kind of job you do. And we have seen instances, haven't we, where the remote working doesn't always pan out for everybody, and programs like Zoom or Teams just cannot quite replicate the office in the way that others need to. I'm thinking back to a vote in the Welsh Parliament and whether COVID passes for nightclubs should be mandatory.
We still have a member who's desperately trying to get into Zoom but cannot get into...
No, Darren Miller, that is, we are holding the vote.
And it scraped through by one vote because a Conservative couldn't get onto the Zoom meeting, although he said he tried very hard. There are some things that we maybe need to be together for, aren't there?
And everyone remembers the US lawyer who had a cat filter on.
Mr. Ponton, I believe you have a filter turned on in the video settings.
And we'll never live that down during a court hearing.
Although it was very funny.
Can you hear me, Judge? I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
I can see that.
And also, I think there's a sense that in big groups as well, there will always be people who speak more or make sure that they're heard. And maybe being on a large Zoom or Teams meeting doesn't suit quieter people or those who aren't quite as forthright. And then that brings this whole question of bias as well into workplace dealings. Whereas if you're in a room together, it's maybe easier for the person leading that meeting to make sure that everyone has their say and everyone's voice is heard.
For some time now, the government has been very keen for us to get back to the office. The Prime Minister said last week that a productive workforce only comes from face-to-face meetings.
No, you've got to be able to come in and sit at the. You've got to know what everybody else is talking about.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're going to be gossiped about, and you're going to lose out. And
God forbid you'd ever be gossiped about.
Well, you know what I mean, Nick.
And Conservative MP Jake Berry said we have to stop the civil service woking from home, a joke which I'm actually sorry to even repeat. Why do you think they're so insistent that home working needs to end?
This is quite a complicated one to unpick, right? Because I can understand why government have promoted people returning to the workplaces because of what a lack of workers means for lots of city centre businesses, especially small independent ones that pay sky-high rents and are there because prior to the pandemic were assured footfall 5 days a week, and all of a sudden their business dropped off a cliff. There's also an argument, though, that if you have more continued remote working in future, that's a great way of helping the levelling up agenda that the government has got, that you could have people doing highly skilled, highly paid jobs working in all different parts of the country, including more rural or isolated places where wages might be lower, that you could have higher paid, highly skilled people working there remotely and then spending their money in the local economy. So that's an argument as well for retaining some level of remote working in future. Government actually has a consultation that's open at the moment and is running until the start of December, which would apply to England, Scotland and Wales, that they're looking at the current remote working or flexible working legislation and looking at whether they can take it further in future so that more people could demand flexible working. So it's clearly something that government is open to as well.
Coming up, is this new way of working here to stay? And if so, could it change our city centres forever? It is important to say at this point, Joanna, that not everyone can work from home. For those who can work from home, does this hybrid approach of doing a few days a week in the office privilege some people over others?
There are quite a lot of employment experts who are warning that more remote working in future could have lots of unintended consequences. And there could be people who are overlooked, perhaps, if they take all the flexible working offers that are made to them. And that might be predominantly women or people with caring responsibilities for young children or elderly parents who think, oh, flexible working's offered to me, I'm going to seize it, but then aren't ever getting FaceTime with their bosses and might be overlooked in future for promotions. And you would have quite an unbalanced workforce if you had more women, for example, staying at home and doing their work, and younger, maybe predominantly male employees in the office, creating relationships with their superiors, standing at the front of the queue for a future promotion. And that's what lots of experts are warning about.
So could this fragmented return then perhaps have a knock-on effect, you know, increase the gender pay gap? You know, we've spent years talking about trying to close that, and yet what you're saying is that this could be a situation that might privilege men over women.
That's certainly something that lots of employment experts are warning about, and ones I've spoken to over the past few months are saying that this continued experiment that we're in at the moment really is something that organisations and employers have to be on top of and have to be keeping an eye on at these early stages to make sure that it doesn't turn, that their workforce doesn't sort of become a two-track workforce with those who are in the office and are visible and are seen to be doing their job, and those who might be very, very productive but working away at home could risk being forgotten about. And that's a big ask of employers and quite a big challenge for them in the future.
Walking around the city this morning, it really did feel like things are returning to normal, and almost everyone I spoke to said that they felt that too, but that they didn't see that they were ever going to go back to work 5 days a week.
I hope not.
Oh, why?
Yeah. No, because I always wanted to have that mix and to have the choice. So, yeah, 3 days for me is the maximum to go back and work in the office, and I'd like to keep 2 days working from home, spend more time, you know, with my family.
And just, would you want to go back full-time 5 days a week in the office?
Not really. I think maybe 4 3 days a week. Yeah, a bit of a mix would be nice, if possible.
Right. Is this it now? Are we going to stay in this hybrid working model for a while?
I feel we are still in a transition phase, and lots of companies are trialling this new flexible working or hybrid working system for the next 6 months. So I don't think we'll know till next year quite how things are going to look longer term. Some data that came out a couple of days ago from analysts at Remit Consulting, who have been monitoring automatic turnstiles at 150 major office buildings around the UK. And that's suggesting that occupancy of offices is only hovering around 20% of pre-pandemic levels on most weekdays. But they have noticed quite starkly that the middle 3 days of the week are the busiest. And this is a national trend that's been gaining momentum since the spring. And I hate to come on the podcast to swear, but there are certain thoughts that we are all going to become twats in future. Let me explain that to you.
What does that mean?
That would be that people would be coming into the office on a Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. I'm afraid I look at the word, it's all I see. I've got a bad journalist mind. And Monday and Friday, people would choose to, those would be the days that people would work from home.
I mean, I'm willing to put my hands up and say I would be in that group, because who wants to be going to the office on a Monday or a Friday? It makes sense, doesn't it?
But that's quite a problem for all of those service businesses in city centres, that if you've been used to having full staff or maybe only open in the week at the coffee shop, the sandwich bar, the dry cleaners, if then suddenly you're hardly having any customers on a Monday or a Friday, that means quite a shift to how you do your business.
And actually, that was exactly what one tailor near Moorgate Station in the city told me.
Yeah, look, I mean, I've been in this business 55 years. My eldest son came on board 7 years ago to take the business over. And it's a passion for us. You know, it's a family business. And I'm very passionate about what I do with the clients. And then things were going great. And Brexit happened, and then the pandemic happened. In lockdown, we closed. We came up once every 10 days just to make sure everything was okay. And it was very painful. And seeing the city that was a hive of activity to actually come up here, even today, I mean, people coming back to the office, yes, but normally on a 3 day, if you come here on a Monday or a Friday, again, especially on a Friday, it's like a ghost town. I would say at best at the moment, it's about 60%. Whether it will ever come back to 100%, I don't really know.
And you need it to be 100% for your business?
On these rents and rates, yes. Otherwise, you know, the only reason we're here, to be totally honest with you, our landlord has been quite kind to us and we're on a rent-free period, but that's going to end pretty soon, and if the old rent kicks in, we will also have to close. That's the truth.
Okay, so the hybrid model isn't working for everyone, but is it legal for an employer to make someone come into work?
This is quite a tricky one. It depends really on what your work contract looked like. So if you have an existing work contract, which probably specified that you need to work in the office, employers won't be able to change that. Employment lawyers have said that you can be asked to go back to the office at any time, with the proviso, though, that the employer has put suitable COVID safety measures in place. So, and if you refuse, you could face disciplinary action unless you can demonstrate that your employer hasn't followed relevant guidelines to keep you safe. So if you were working in an office before COVID, you've gone back home and now your employer wants you back in, as an employee, you're not really able to refuse, provided that it's safe for you to go back.
And could this period change the way we think about work forever? I mean, lots of people have reported that feeling of being always on with home or hybrid working. And in April, the Irish government actually signed into law the right to switch off, which means employees there don't have to respond to emails or messages out of working hours. You know, could we start to see a move towards new ways of working, perhaps even towards things like a 4-day week, which gets talked about quite a lot?
For all the benefits of home working, I think lots of people who spent the last 18 months on their kitchen table will tell you that it's got quite a lot of downsides as well. That the commute, as much as most people don't like it, does, we realise belatedly, form quite a helpful demarcation between office and home. And when you're just working at home, your working hours can creep later and later without you really noticing. Employers can know that you're not on a train or on a bus home or in the car, so might contact you and ask you to do one more thing, and will push their luck that way a bit. So I don't know whether we're going to completely change the way we work out of the pandemic. I'd love to be really optimistic and tell you that COVID has changed everything, but I feel it's a little bit early to tell at the moment.
Joanna, thank you very much for coming into the studio. It's lovely to speak to you face to face. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Joanna Partridge. Read her reporting on the return to the office and how it's impacting on the economy at theguardian.com. Now, I have an announcement to make. Next week, I will host my last episode of Today in Focus because I have a new job in America. I have so many people I have to thank Not least, all of you for listening and for leaving reviews, tweets, sending me emails. It has genuinely meant so much to me. You'll hear more from me next week, but for now, that's it for today. Thanks to Joanna and to all the commuters at Liverpool Street Station who let me delay their return to the office by speaking to me. This episode was produced by Alex Atack and Hannah Moore. Sound design was by Rudy Zagadlo. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Archie Bland. We'll be back tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.